Yeah, hello and welcome to another episode of the Intelligent Document Processing Podcast. Today this is sort of an inside job. Actually, I have Tilo Rosa with me, who is one of our first employees and sort of a, how to say that, brother in crime, basically, when it comes to intelligent document processing. Hi Tilo, great to have you here. You know, all these kind of things don't make sense if you speak Litaku, you're one of your main bodies. So, why we actually opted to have you here on the postcard episode was I think you have a very strategic and visionary mindset when it comes to intelligent document processing. Maybe you share a bit of your background and what made you ending up here, basically?
That's a long story.
Yeah, typically, people here actually tell a bit about themselves, so who they are and what they did.
Yeah, but how I ended up here is like a multi-step journey, you could say. I started off as a network administrator. And the company I was working for, it did like all kinds of things, like Windows Server networks, taking computers into domains, installing printers, setting up new laptops, like the usual stuff there. But we also had a couple of software products, and one of it was a DMS solution, document management. And after finishing my apprenticeship there, I kind of knew I liked the software we were working with, and I wanted to go deeper into this whole DMS thing. And so I started a journey over 2 to 3 companies, like 8 years, from installing, configuring document management systems, doing digital workflows, short time, long time archiving, folder systems, like all the usual stuff surrounding DMS, it was called at first, when sometime came the name transition to more like ECM, Enterprise Content Management. And so I grew big expertise in this one area, and I was able to move away from the network administration, and now I'm basically unemployable in any other industry besides DMS, but it also, like, I still like it. People tend to think of documents as something like boring, because it's documents, it's like, yeah, if you just look at it. So, but with every topic, as soon as you dive deeper, there's like this whole complex layers and processes and things specific to just how to handle documents, and that still intrigues me. And yeah, then and basically that's how I landed a job in consulting, doing solution design for input management. So how do documents come into companies, different channels, how should they be automatically extracted and processed, also with like the workforce behind it, doing validation and doing like all the validation work required so that you have all the data captured. And through that I kind of ended up here. I mean, I reached out to you because that was like, what is it, 2.5 years ago now?
Feels like it turned.
Yeah. I was basically, since I'm in the DMS sector, I was always scanning the market for like cool and upcoming solutions regarding documents, be it now like, let's say the main three things always with ECM is like OCR and capturing, like what we do here, intelligent data capturing or document processing. DMS, archiving, and workflow. And so I was always on the lookout for what new trends could come up, and I stumbled across PowerShift in the very early days. And I looked at it and I thought, that's really, really interesting. So I reached out to you. I think I still have the LinkedIn message where I wrote to you. It's like, hey, come on, let's have a coffee. You tell me what you want to do, and I'll tell you just some experiences of my past. Maybe it helps you shape the company, and well, one thing led to another, and I joined.
I actually do remember, because my first thought was, this is a legacy guy. He will bitch around telling us we need to do the things the old way. And then we discussed the things in our management team back then, and then somebody said, well, don't you think maybe it's a good idea that we have at least somebody who's actually has some idea of how document processing works. So because we were all like outsiders, just having this idea that it should be a lot more easy than than things that would be here. And then I was very glad when you actually had the first conversation, you're saying, well, I'm so pissed off by the current status quo, and we need to change that. So so that leads into the vision thing, basically. I think we have the same vision of how document processing should be. Not today. I mean, it would be cool if we already had it today, but in like 5 to 10 years. Why did you came to have this vision?
So again, it's these three.
It's not like you wake up and say, "Oh, I think this all needs to be like
you,
that."
You have
so there's a lot of things that run in a mediocre way, and nobody cares to improve.
Yeah, but you actually, I think. I didn't start as a consultant and project manager. I started like installing and configuring DMS and ECM systems. And I think that was like an important part of it, like really getting into the weeds or the roots of it. And again, there's these three parts to a ECM project. It's the input management, scanning, data capturing stuff, automatically recognizing all the data on a document, what we are doing, the workflow, how to route a document and how to store it in the DMS. And like my experience was you had these really big projects with clients where you wanted to digitize a single process. Most of the time it was invoices, it's always invoices sadly, but like the workflow was something you were able to configure. People told you, I want this kind of logic for documents to be routed a certain way, and if I'm out of office, the documents should be routed that way, and so it was a, let's say, logical thing. It was more convincing the clients to adapt maybe new logic or make it simpler, but once you configured it, it basically worked. It was a logical thing. Same with the document management side of thing. You defined what metadata you wanted your documents to be stored at, to be found, how the search works. And so also that part worked. And then came the capturing thing. And every time with every project where we went live, the only thing that made like trouble after go live and all the time where you had support requests, where something wasn't working, was that input part. And I'm not talking scanning a couple of invoices and indexing them manually. That's also, again, something logical. But like the automatic extraction, the clients got in like new layouts and the software was too stupid to work with these new layouts. You had to do templates. It was like the only pain in this whole thing was always the OCR software, like old school name, the IDP part. Yeah. And that's why, and also we always started from scratch, like each, again, a lot of invoice projects, and you had a basic template for it. And I'm not talking about that one vendor I was working with. I was working with multiple vendors where you had like, in general, the same issues. Sometimes the template was a little better, sometimes it was a little worse, but you had a template to go in, but still that didn't really work out of the box. I was just thinking like, and to be honest, like I always knew that was a pain, but I didn't quite have the grasp yet how you could solve that. And then when I saw PowerShift, that's why I reached out, because I thought, yeah, that thing could work. And instantly it triggered something in my mind where you should be going to have like that one API or that one component where you just send documents to and you get structured data back. And suddenly that component gets, let's say, not logical, OCR and ML is never like this, but like just less a pain and to work around with. And but still, that's what I want to build and where I want to go. For future ECM engineers to have a better life on this world when I have it. That's not a big vision like solving world hunger or something, but removing that little pain in the whole process.
I think, we're very much united in the way that we were convinced that reading data from document needs to be a convenience, a commodity, basically. So, that's very interesting. So that actually, I think that's like we're coming from different spots. Like for me, it was like when we built the other startup, Kanto, I was sort of assuming that there's an API out there that I could just like, set my files to. I was very surprised that the definition of document extraction is done in the industry was not at all matching a sort of modern more an approach or not like any software engineer in past 2015 would actually imagine how you would solve that. So and finally, when we started to think about bringing in the legacy solutions, we were actually asking,
at your last startup.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. We were asking a company who now is partner of PowerShift. So that sounds and they came up with sort of an offer that we should pay like 450,000 Swiss francs to set up a couple of dozen dog types, which was not bad at this point of time, but it was impossible for us. And I thought, okay, if that is the case for so many other companies out there, what would be the impact if we could come closer to the just API approach? Yeah, so that's interesting. So how we got to actually from different angles, joining into the same strategy. And I would lie if I would say that is the strategy and the vision would all have been in just my head. It's more like that we sort of developed that. I remember us having a lot of fights regarding should PowerShift be a end-to-end solution or just the
and I know where this is going.
Just a horizontal tech provider for all of the industry. And I think the official statement right now is that PowerShift is very convinced that we can grow the company to 200 million ARR with being that tech provider, 100 million beyond. And I think this discussion comes up every now and then when we talk about maybe you can.
Yeah, I mean, that discussion.
You can share your view on that and how we're doing that and why we're. I mean, the potential calculation is a very simple math. The price you're paying is massive R&D investments to actually be able to deliver an API that can deliver thousands of document types, ready-made, out-of-the-box document types, at just without configuration.
That's the goal, yeah. But the question is basically, should we put more like end-to-end features in?
Yeah.
So maybe for the viewer or listener of this podcast. So basically what we are doing is if you send in a document, we structure the data in there. So you get stuff like invoice number or invoice type and that also for all other kind of documents. It could be a correspondence where we give you the subject or document date. And we focus on doing this structuring part, but we cannot really, or we don't want to tell you if this correspondence is now correct. Like if someone is sending in a letter and he puts a date on that dating like 1988 and he's sending it 2020, we will give you this, the document date is from 1988. We can't tell you if that's a valid date, if that should trigger some business logic or anything. And we don't want to do that since, and this is now our shared vision, is like there's a lot of systems out there that are way better suitable to do all the business logic based on the data we structure. And the pain our customers have is actually getting the structured information out, not necessarily the business logic and business validation. It comes back to if you have a workflow or a primary system, that's usually primed to do exactly that. So in theory, this is very nice. You have like a clean scope, what we do with structuring information, and then the next system takes over doing business validation and everything else. The problem is it's hard to sell that. Because clients usually are not looking for like software like ours. We are no end-to-end solution. We solve that one single problem and we solve that very well. And clients usually search for an end-to-end solution. So but the question always comes up, like, can't you do just a little bit of business validation or just a little bit of this and that? And I think there's not doing a little bit of that. If you start implementing like complex scripting, validations, if this then that, so that you can do very complex, also like business rules, you have to focus on that stuff. And suddenly you start to build a whole new part of the platform that we're currently just not not there for yet. Or yeah. And also, like, if we want to integrate, if you want to partner, if we want to deliver this API, again, our customers or our clients, our partners are usually looking just for the extraction part. And often it's the understanding of the clients, what we are doing or how they should set up their things, if they can still be convinced that we are not the part of their solution that should be doing this business validations. And so that's why I'm always like a little defensive on putting that in, because we still have like major parts that we just want to implement to get to this magical API where you send documents to and get back. And I think once we have that, that's when like magic that will sell itself.
Exactly.
That's the thing we have to focus on.
And I'm actually, I think we're making progress towards that in
great steps. The last couple of weeks and months were like insane. What we accomplished with regards to extraction quality.
Yeah, really crazy. It's really an interesting discussion, because it sort of affected the lifeline of PowerShift. I mean, we were in the beginning, we were not having a lot of traction with that approach, because it was super hard to actually convince partners and companies. But I think what we've learned as well is that with the bigger enterprise customers, they're very open to using that platform in a best of breed or service or
they have everything else.
Yeah,
they just need that one part.
That's really speaking to prospects on a C level. I get that from CIOs or CDOs quite often, that they say, look, Anna, we don't want to change our sort of beloved or favorable applications. We have everything that covers business logic. What actually sucks is the extraction quality within that. So we're not going to
if
change.
If they even have that.
If they even have it, a lot of things are done manually still. So we just want to replace that, and we just want to upgrade our own applications with a lot more or better document extraction, and we're screening the market for just doing that, not for having another end-to-end solution. And I'm super excited that we're getting so many leads in from very big customers and talking about this very strategic approach of getting a lot more automated when it comes to documents, using the current or being embedded in the existing IT landscape. Yeah, so. I think we're now found the momentum and sort of the mantra of actually how our positioning is, and surprisingly, we're super unique.
Yeah,
that's what I feel. Yeah. So there are not many companies out there that are really or have a die-hard focus on getting it solved. So, but by the way, cheers to everybody out there doing IDP solutions and pushing the IDP topic. I think this is an exploding market. That's what my feeling is.
Yeah, since like, and I think one reason it's exploding is like more and more people come to this topic and they go in like you did it initially with a counter. They think, well, that's solved. Mm. I can get basically today any API or app to do specific things. I can outsource or so many parts of my platform or my problems to a specific vendor, so that I think a lot of people are realizing like there's nothing like that, and that's why the interest in this topic is getting bigger and bigger, and also with it getting cheaper to implement, to start it off. Like if you look back, OCR is nothing new. I mean, there's companies out there that did it like the 80s, but the big clients, reading out punch cards and stuff, or very simple forms. And now it gets accessible to smaller and smaller markets clients, because you can just easier start with it. Still, you have the integration part. It needs to be integrated into some business software.
Of course, of course.
And I'm looking forward.
Interesting to see that there are like a lot of business software vendors actually reach out to us.
Yeah,
want to have integrations, and I think that's one very strategic key aspect that we're following as well, or try to follow.
I mean, at some point, if you're an ERP vendor, how do you differentiate differentiate yourself from other ERP vendors? Like the logical thing in the past that I've seen a lot of ERP vendors did is like they picked a very specific niche and delivered a vertical solution for one industry. Mm-hmm. So you created an ERP system for, I don't know, construction companies, mm-hmm. their special mm-hmm. ERP system. And now it gets harder and harder to differentiate because there's also startups that now do ERP system for construction, but new in the cloud, yeah. better, faster,
yeah.
and so on.
Yeah.
So, and they do all these fancy automation stuff. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you need to come up as an ERP vendor, you also need to come up with these fancy features that differentiate you from others. And one of these features, well, can be automatic document processing, send in an order, create an order automatically, like all this automation stuff. And if you create this kind of ERP in a vertical solution, let's say you're an ERP vendor, you maybe have like between 50 and 300 employees. The smaller ERP mm-hmm. systems often go around in this range. You can't spare 10
sure.
people just for document extraction, so sure. you're looking to buy.
Yeah. I think we're running a bit out of time, but I think we can just decide to... Who cares? let's talk about swarm learning. and I think that's one of the brilliant moves we actually made, really getting rid of all the sort of old... Actually, maybe for explanation, you were heading business development in the very early days.
I
just forced you to do that. and then after you actually changed to being the chief product officer and heading all things product and then very strategic way. So I think the more we are working on document swarm learning, the more I think we realize it's all about generating this massive data network in the document space. So
yeah.
it's actually a super big moat around PowerShift where nobody else could get to that. How do you see the progress of our document swarm learning approach and will it be the thing to solve universal intelligent document processing?
Yes.
What a stupid question. I know. Yeah, well, I mean, we're doing it. are there any other approaches? How fast can we actually get to a very large amount of document types that we have out of, that can we provide out of the box?
With a couple thousand people doing configuration day in, day out, you would be able to set that all up, but that's like not how the real world is. What we are doing with the swarm learning, like focusing on, let's say, data points or field entities to centralize learning and have like these out-of-the-box capabilities with pre-trained fields, pre-trained things, that I think that's very unique and super helpful. And I think there's, as of now, like there's no other way how to really do it. Like I'm thinking about that a lot, like one possible way.
We're always afraid that there's a shortcut we don't see, right?
No, I mean, like one way I would see is that currently there's the input side where we are focusing on, but then there's also the output side.
Yeah.
Like all the printing companies out there, old school, or just like sending out digital documents, emails, mm. EDI, and so on. Mm. So if you would like really want to solve the whole issue of getting structured information, you would have to marry these two. So basically, a provider that does all your output, but also all the output for all the other customers, and basically this one huge big. EDI platform that handles output, input, and can do all the structuring. That would be like the real solution to the thing.
Mm.
But that will not likely happen. Like you would have to get every company on the planet on board on using the exactly same platform for output so that they can profit from input. And I mean, just try to convince all the companies to use a standard like X-Rechnung, like X-Invoice in Europe, or Fatua X, or however it's called in other countries, and you see that like it's 7 years in the making and barely has any adoption rate.
There's like conflict of interest. What I feel that a lot of companies, I mean, like customer facing, they're saying, okay, they want to be open and then want, they want to actually provide easy entries of exchanging data, but then if they really should put actually the money where their mouth is, they're actually backing away from that because they would open up too much.
Yeah.
We had quite some discussions around that with in specific verticals. And the strange thing to my impression is that almost no of these initiatives really fly unless there's like something like tax authorities asking for full interchange of documents, such as in Brazil or something.
Italy.
Or Italy is actually going the same route, yeah. So do you think we'll be...
This would be the ideal. And since that never happens, I think you need to have this kind of swarm learning where you amass massive amounts of documents to be able to train to understand with them without actually generating them. Like generating a document is way easier because you have a structured information to put them into a document or just send them straight out or transform them. But like that input part requires massive data. So you need a good concept like we now have to gather the information, centralize the learning on certain extraction entities and just being able to out of a box provide this extraction. And I think we are not yet, like the concept we have now, it still focuses around you need to set up a document type, you basically need to set up how you want to structure your documents. An invoice, you need this data points, a correspondence, but like the real magic happens at the point where you just send in a document and like it also the structuring, it just works. Like it recognizes on this document I found the following 100 data points that most likely are interesting to you without having to configure anything. Like
I think we're all on the same page thinking that at some point If we've progressed far enough, we're actually going to get rid of the document type as an entity. I mean, that would be a big change in the product probably, but from a data perspective, it's actually a very intuitive move.
Yeah.
At some point,
it's just another data point. You're interesting. What kind of document is this most likely? A field or whatever. Just similar to, is it an ad or is it no ad? Does it contain handwritten information or not? Is it signed or not? It's just like some meta information you can predict and just give together with all the structured data.
Well, there's some cost restraint.
Yes, I mean, there's always. And again, we're talking vision. We're not talking like a reality as of now.
Very good. Yeah. Let me come to the last point of our conversation, and I think it's Parashift. That's a very unique company culture in a way that I think they're super bright people, but there's a mix of a lot of nerdiness and sort of awkwardness and techiness. So I think almost everybody is a techie at heart, you typically tend to hire the likes. I think you contribute quite intensively to this sort of tech nerd culture, and you have grown into some sort of a meme lord.
Nah.
In the company where, I mean, there's like, ask Tilo something and there's like a 2 in 10 chance that you get an answer in the form of a meme, which sometimes it's very annoying because even in tense moments where, you're freakingly quick.
Yeah, there's meme generators for that, yeah.
Like in seconds. And then there was one or the other LinkedIn post where I said, man, boy, does that really need to land on LinkedIn? But on the other side, I think a company is authentic and is true in a way that when everybody basically doesn't have any guidelines to post publicly.
I did it 2 to 3 times. Like no one, I got likes from our LinkedIn account, but I know is either Emma behind the camera here, or you, or Matthias. Or I got likes on that, so no one pushed me back. So I thought, okay, that's okay. And then it started out like,
yeah, but because you're good at going very close to the line, but not crossing it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm also I'm always providing some. I try at least to really like provide some, especially on LinkedIn. You can't just post your private shit. That's not for LinkedIn. It has to be a little business related.
Thank you for sharing that attitude.
Yeah, no, I mean it's no social media. It's a business social, whatever.
Yeah.
But and like I
but
actually,
that doesn't mean we need to be stubborn or boneheaded.
Yeah, no, that's just it's if I go through my LinkedIn timeline thingy and I just see certain companies that do this like I like the ones that bring a little fun, that combine fun with actual factual information.
True.
That draws me personally in. And I try to, I'm not good at it, but I try to mimic it. And sometimes, you know, there's just a little meme here and there. It just
little meme here and there.
Yeah, it's
like a full stream of.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't put like, as soon if you see that there's like too much effort put into it, it again destroys the purpose.
Sure.
The meme has to be created in like 2 minutes, and then it needs to be, hopefully 1 in 10 finds it funny, and then that's okay. I like it. Yeah,
so I think for now you're really the meme lord of PowerShift, and unless somebody from the youngers actually step up.
I think like they could, they just don't. You know, we have to maybe encourage that.
All right, Tilo, thank you very much for doing that, sharing a bit more about PowerShift, and now let's go into the next meeting.
Thank you. 7 minutes left. Thank you. Bye.